Praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be. Thou living us we filled with thee, thou in the sun expressed might be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
The Bible reveals that God is triune and that the third of the Trinity is the Spirit. The Spirit is referred to variously as the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, and by many other titles in the Bible. Common to all of these is that the essence of the Spirit is the very essence of God Himself. Yet in Exodus 30, several wonderful spices are added to this essence, and the resulting compound can have a life-changing impact upon all who are brought to experience it. Stay with us today as we enjoy another marvelous view of the Holy Anointing Oil on this Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program furnished by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Francis Ball is here with us again today as we continue to look at this tremendous revelation from Exodus chapter 30. Francis, welcome back. I have to say this is, I think, one of the real high points of this life study of Exodus. Has been one high point after another.
I'm glad this can be shared with the radio audience because this is a tremendous revelation.
It really is. Francis, in our study of typology in the Bible, nearly all the interpreters recognize that oil in the Old Testament typifies the Spirit of God. Now, here in Exodus 30, we have the recipe for the holy anointing oil, and we're seeing that this Spirit is being blended with these 4 other items, these 4 principal spices. Why is it that we believe these 4 spices all point to the various aspects of Christ?
Well, we really have to believe this because of what the Bible says about these spices in different portions, particularly this matter of myrrh, because we know that Christ in his death and also in his birth, myrrh was brought to him. And that's a significant spice that comes up in today's message. And then there are other spices that are referred to in the book of the Song of Songs. And these, we have to realize, must have some relationship to Christ and his work, because the whole Bible is about Christ. So if we don't find Christ in these things, what will we do with them? They have no meaning. So to answer your question, I think this is why we believe that these 4 spices point out various aspects of Christ, and I believe in this message we'll see what those aspects are, and we will have to agree, yes, that is really what it is.
I think, Francis, it would be good to read these verses in Exodus 30 as a bit of an introduction as we get into these spices again today. In chapter 30, verse 23, 24, and 25, it says, "You also take the finest spices of flowing myrrh, 500 shekels, and of fragrant cinnamon, half as much, 250 shekels, and of fragrant calamus, 250 shekels, and of cassia, 500 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, and a hin of olive oil. And you shall make it a holy anointing oil, a perfume compounded according to the perfumer's art. It shall be a holy anointing oil." Francis, before we go on again, would you review what is a hin of olive oil?
That's a large measure of olive oil, signifying that this is the basic element of this whole compound.
Well, Francis, let's join Witness Lee for his first portion, and then you and I will be back to have another time together.
In Exodus 30, this holy anointing oil is also called the compounded ointment. In the scriptures, firstly, the Spirit of God was typified just by merely oil, just one element, one entity with one element. no compounding, no mingling, no bonding, just one element, oil, merely oil. But in Exodus, up to Exodus 30, the oil is compounded with four kinds of spices. You have to realize that in the Bible, these four kinds of spices have been mentioned a good number of times, especially with the Lord Jesus. At his birth and at his burial, these kinds of spices were mentioned there and used as an honor given to him. Then in the Song of Songs, some of the spices are very much used for some spiritual significances, either of the Lord or of his seekers. So these four spices are quite precious. This revelation concerning the compounded ointment was not given in Exodus chapter 1, even not given in chapter 29. It was given at the very end of chapter 30. After God's dwelling place is there, and God's serving ones also there. In other words, it was at the time when God got his dwelling place and his serving ones. Actually, this compounded ointment was merely, solely for this purpose. Not for other purpose. For what purpose? For the purpose to anoint God's dwelling and to anoint God's priesthood. For God's dwelling and for God's service. We have to check, where are we? Before or after? Where are we? Or where are you? Before or after? Before the tabernacle and the priesthood or after? It is crucial. I tell you, if it is before, you just don't have any share in this ointment. You don't have any share. This is not for God's chosen people to enjoy before God's dwelling and God's priesthood. This is a kind of enjoyment after God's dwelling and God's serving ones come into existence.
Francis, the revelation of the holy anointing oil as a type of the Spirit of Christ may be the highest in all of Scripture related to the Spirit. But once again, the context of this unveiling is also very meaningful, because it was not until the tabernacle and the full service of the priesthood were unveiled, uncovered, that the Lord would touch this matter of the compound Spirit. Why did this revelation have to come after these other items?
This is a marvelous question, because it shows us that there is a procedure, or there is an order, a sequence in the revelation in the Bible that's very important for us to see what our Christian experience really is. And it's true that the Israelites by this time had had lots of experiences of enjoyment, of being delivered from Egypt, and being in the wilderness, enjoying God's presence and so on. But that was not the goal of God's intention. God had in his heart the building up of a dwelling place for himself. He wants to have a dwelling place. He wants to live among us. And he wants also to be served. He needs a priesthood. Right. These other items that led up in a historical way to this point, which comes here at the end of Exodus chapter 30, we find out that there now is a revelation concerning the tabernacle and concerning the priesthood. And the anointing oil, the compound that is described here, is for anointing that tabernacle as God's dwelling place and anointing the priesthood as God's serving ones. So, of course, he couldn't reveal this until he had the object on which the anointing oil was going to be put. If he did that, it would not be meaningful if you get the revelation of the ointment, and yet you don't have where it's going to be used. So that's the reason we have the tabernacle and the priesthood both revealed and all their utensils before we have this compound revealed to us.
So even in our own experience, there are many Christians who have an appreciation of the Spirit. But if it's not in the context of this picture of God's house related to God's move on the earth and the real corporate service to Him, it's somewhat misplaced. Maybe that's too much to say.
Well, I wouldn't know what to say misplaced or not up to the full adequate enjoyment that's available, because every Christian has enjoyed, regardless of how he explained it or understood it, he's enjoyed the Passover lamb, for example. And he's enjoyed, if he's gone on with the Lord, even to be across the Red Sea. He's in another realm and enjoying the manna, the supply of Christ himself as food in that wilderness. And also they've enjoyed some amount of the water of life, which depicts the Spirit. So they do have some experiences. But this is not the goal. This is the procedure, and it's on the way. But the goal is God's building and God's priesthood.
A few minutes ago, Francis, we read these verses that showed both the four different spices that were added to the oil and the quantities of these spices. And that's significant as we look in this coming section. We had three portions, each of 500 shekels, yet the middle portion had been cut in half. So you have 500, 250, 250, and 500. So actually four spices, but three portions. And we're going to see a little bit about these numbers. 3 and 4. And then also the number 5, 500 shekels, is significant. And we're going to hear Witness Lee relate this even as something as primary in Scripture as Noah's Ark. This was the first type of God's building in the Bible, Francis. How do the numbers 3 and 5 pertain to Noah's Ark?
Well, we all know, I think, that Noah's Ark had three stories. And also the measurements of the Ark were all in multiples of 3 and 5. 3 and 5 are in the tabernacle, and 3 and 5 were in the ark. It was 300 cubits long, it was 50 cubits wide, and the measurements of these all relate very much to this kind of thing so consistently. So we have to believe that the numbers in the Bible, some have done an extensive study on this matter, and they find all the numbers in the Bible are significant.
They surely are, and as a type of God's building, Noah's Ark and then later the tabernacle, it's not insignificant that these numbers reappear in these various types of the one unique building of God. It must be meaningful, Francis.
It's consistent.
Right. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
This is quite crucial, and you and I should pay our full attention to this. Why in God's holy revelation there is such a section? Unveiling such a thing to us. What is then? A compound. Oil compounded with four spices. Four kinds of spices, yet three units. And each unit is of 500 shekels. 3 and 5. If you know the number of the Bible, you all should know that whenever 3 and 5 put together, no doubt that refers to God's building. You read God's first building. What was that? The ark. Noah's ark was God's first building. There you have the numbers 3 and 5. Not only so, even that ark was in 3 stories. Then God's second building. God's second building was this tabernacle. We all know this. This tabernacle is of 3 sections. The outer court, the holy place, and the holy of holies. You see 3s here. Not only so, on the tabernacle, everywhere is the number 5. 5 curtains. 10 curtains altogether, divided into 2 pieces. Each of 5 curtains. If you read carefully, the surrounding curtain of the outer court is of squares. Each square is 5 by 5. 5 by 5. Always 5, with 3. No doubt 3 in the Bible signifies the very triune God in his resurrection. The triune God implies number three. And resurrection is on this third day, implying also the number three. It's quite meaningful. Five, just like your hand, four plus one becomes a kind of responsibility. This is the triune God in resurrection, bearing responsibility for his building. This is the building.
Brother Francis, in this recipe for the holy anointing oil, we're seeing that it's not just the ingredients themselves that are meaningful, but also the quantities. What do these quantities of the elements of the anointing oil show us about its function, Francis?
Well, the anointing oil really shows us that it's a picture of the triune God. There are three sets of 500 shekels each, and the middle section, that is the cinnamon and the calamus, is divided into two parts, like cut. Well, the Father is like the first 500 shekels. The Son, who was cut at the cross, is like the second of these two measurements, and the third is like the Spirit. So this brings the triune God into focus. The Father is the source, the Son is the course, and the Spirit is the application. Now, the middle one, this is the thing that caused all of us to marvel when we heard this kind of definition and explanation, that the middle expresses the Son because he was cut at the cross.
Well, it was marvelous, Francis, as you said, to see that this middle portion of 500 shekels cut into two parts, a clear picture once again of the triune God. I've often thought that reading, especially the recovery version of the New Testament with the footnotes, how adept Witness Lee was, and also his forerunner, Watchman Nee, in seeing the triune God throughout Scripture. They just had almost a nose to find the triune God in those passages, didn't they?
Yes, they did. And this was one of the most marvelous of those discoveries.
Well, Francis, we're going to hear a testimony in this coming portion from Witness Lee, and it's related to his attempts as a young believer to experience a well-known passage of Scripture that's laid out for us in the book of Romans, chapter 6. Of course, his efforts led to this tremendous discovery regarding the Spirit that we're seeing, but maybe you could outline for us a little bit what this portion in Romans 6 is all about and why we all seem to struggle when we are so desperate to sort it out for ourselves.
Well, Romans 6 is really an experiential passage, and it talks about some experiences we all would like to attain to. I think probably what you're referring to mostly is verse 6, where it says, "Knowing this, that our old man has been crucified with him, in order that the body of sin might be annulled, that we should no longer serve sin as a slave." I think we've all wanted that kind of freedom, and we've tried to reckon this to be a case, and Brother Lee even mentions this, that he reckoned himself to be dead to sin, but the more he reckoned it, the more sin was so prevailing. So this revelation here concerning the Spirit has really opened up something quite marvelous to us about how this chapter 6 of Romans can be experienced if you come to chapter 8, where the Spirit is made so real to us and where the experience of the Spirit can bring in the reality of what we have in Romans 6.
It's tremendous. Of course, we're going to hear him describe how Brother Nee helped him very much by pointing him to Romans 8 in his effort to really come into the reality of Romans 6, as you mentioned. I'm looking forward. Let's listen to this portion.
Every campaign is a compound. And it is with the oil at the base that you need to add many other elements. You can have a paint. Then why God used a compound instead of a single oil? And at the time when his dwelling place and his serving ones came into existence, why not before this time? And this was the reason years ago caused me to study it. Right after I got saved, I was seeking the real experience of Romans 6, the delivery from the bondage of the law of sin. Gradually, by experience, I found out, actually, the virtue, that means the energy, the strength, the effectiveness of the Lord's subjective death dwells in the Spirit. Then I heard Brother Nee said that the death of Christ in the subjective sense, not in the objective, in Romans 6, could only be experienced by the Spirit in Romans 8. And that confirmed my experience and discovery. I was happy about it. That just one single thing helped me to know now today in the Spirit of God is something mingled. In the Spirit, in Romans 8, the death of Christ in Romans 6 is implied, is mingled. So from there, I spend time to study the Old Testament and to study the New Testament. I must jump up to tell you. One day, I got back to Exodus 30. That day, the Lord showed me. See, here is a compound. Not merely anymore an oil. It is compound. Not just oil, but four kinds of spices. My goodness, what is this? Then I studied there. Of course, we studied typology quite much in the past. We got to know in typology, mirror always refers to the Lord's death. Then I said, okay, the first item, mirror refers to his death. Then what the second? And what the third? And what the fourth? You see? And then I said, Maya, 500. 250, another 500, and the last 500, my three units, what is this? And the middle one is cut like this. Oh, the revelation came. This is the triune God. Oh, this is the triune God here.
Well, Francis, this was the first-hand account of how a man of God received genuine revelation of one of the greatest truths in Scripture. I think rather than ask you a specific question about what we just heard, maybe I'll just ask you to give us your thoughts about this tremendous discovery and how it can be a real key for all of us in our own Christian walk. We all need this discovery, don't we?
We really do, Chris, and I'm so grateful to the Lord of having brought me under a ministry that opened up this kind of truth. At first, I believe many people, like I was, were a little bit shocked at what they heard in some of these portions and how they're applied. But once you open the Bible, you have to agree. That's what it says, and when you experience it, that's what it is. And to see how this particular discovery helps so much because it brings in all the aspects of Christ's person and his work in our behalf. It shows his incarnation, his crucifixion, his way of living, everything is included. In these spices and the way they're presented to us, we see the myrrh representing the death of Christ, the crucifixion of Christ, and then the cinnamon is really the effectiveness, the sweetness of that death. And then calamus. Calamus is a reed that grows in a mushy, moggy, or marshy ground, and it shoots up out of there like resurrection. So that's a resurrection of Christ depicted there. And then cassia is a repellent. It repels insects, and particularly serpents. And this is really a deliverance from the serpent's attack on us, which is Satan's attack on us. It repels him.
Right.
So these are the experiences that we get in this particular revelation, and it includes our our lifelong experience. If without this kind of revelation, we really are pretty much in the dark about a lot of our experiences.
It's an all-inclusive dose when we contact the Spirit of Christ, isn't it, Francis? And that, of course, was a phrase that became a hallmark of his ministry, all-inclusive.
That's right.
And we will return with another message from Exodus chapter 30. We hope that you'll join us then. For Francis Ball today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening.